Hey, Go Church family. I'm Elia and I'm here with Pastor Matt.
Hi, everyone.
Welcome to the new series, In Christ.
In Christ.
That's just amazing and exciting.
That's the title, and it says so much that hopefully these are, hopefully you don't look down and see that this is a four-hour discussion. We're going to try to limit this, but there's so much here.
Yeah, we're going to try to stop each other from just going.
But it is, this is going to be a good discussion and a good series.
Yes, and basically like what is just big on my heart that it's not just a title for this month. I believe like it's going to go with us until October with the Mark Hankins, Pastor Mark Hankins conference. And I believe this is not just like basically all the messages that we do in Go Church is not just for the month. It's for life.
That's right. So we just finished Influence.
Yeah.
And so when we talk about influence, what's the biggest influence in our life and what's influencing us? Well, this series presents the truth from the New Testament that should be our greatest influence. And
That's right. Is
that we are in Christ.
That's right.
And we haven't begun the series yet, but the first thing you can see in the title there is that is a description of a present tense fact.
That's right.
Not something that's going to be.
Yeah.
It is who we are
and
where we are to live.
Amen. So the reason why we're talking and the purpose of this series is that we want the Go Church family to know that when Jesus died and was raised up, we died and were raised up in our new life with him.
I believe that.
Jesus didn't only come to reveal his own identity, but he came to change our identity.
Yeah.
And I'd like to stop here and make it personal and say my identity. And as well to the hearers, I would love for you to say, Jesus came to change my identity.
That makes it personal, right?
Yeah.
This message is not just abstract theology. This applies to me.
That's
and
right.
There's really nothing more personal than identity.
That's right. That's right. So in Christ, we are not improved beings, but completely new creatures. The Holy Spirit of God now lives in us, teaching us who we are in Christ, what we have in Christ, and what we can do in Christ.
That's so good.
So I am something, I have something, and I can do things, not something. So the main scripture for this month's series is Colossians 1:27. It says, to them God will to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
So I want to read, that is our key scripture. We're going to continue going back through that, but I want to read the verses that come before that.
Yeah.
Colossians chapter 1, verse 25, Paul writes, he says, I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit. You could stop right there and really see a lot of truth there.
Yeah.
The ministry that Paul had, he didn't think it up on its own. He didn't create it on his own. It was something that he received from God. And that word stewardship identifies that what we do for God, we have to answer for.
Yeah.
We have to give an account for.
That's right.
And so God gave Paul this ministry. This ministry, what was it? It was for the benefit of the church.
That's right. That's right. He didn't look at it as his personal benefit or for him to be known or like that. Like he was celebrating him in Christ, but he was like, I would say he was looking at the joy that is coming in the church and with the church and what this ministry that he was in would benefit the church.
Okay, so which church? This letter is written to the church at Colossae.
Yeah.
But did you know that there's no New Testament record that Paul ever visited the city of Colossae? So if this truth applies to the church that got this letter, then this church, this truth applies to us today.
That's
too.
Right. That's right.
And if we keep reading, it says, bestowed on me for your benefit, for what? So that I might fully carry out the preaching of the Word of God.
He's gone.
Okay, so we say the Word of God. The Word of God's a big book, right? 66 books between the Old and the New Testament.
Yeah.
What specifically, Paul, are you supposed to preach? Verse 26. That is the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested in his saints. Now, saints, that's not like pictures on the wall somewhere.
That's right.
Paul said to the church, actually to every church that he wrote to, he called the believers in that church saints. Literally those that have been set apart for God's purpose.
Yeah.
So what is this truth that is manifested in those that are called according to God's purpose? 27. To whom? To who? Those who are called saints.
Yeah.
God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the nations, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Paul's entire ministry, according to Paul, he received from God for the benefit of the church, and that was to tell the church what had been manifested on the inside of them. And that truth is that Christ is in us.
Glory to God. You know, here we see that the go in Paul's ministry, even if he didn't go in the flesh, but there is a go in his ministry.
That's exactly right.
And it's amazing. And this is who we are at Go Church. We say that Go Church is your place to love, grow, and go.
That's good.
And the go cannot just be physical going to somewhere, but you can go with the word that you can give to someone, or a bit of time, or like, and maybe in the spirit, you might go somewhere and do something for the like work of God and for the church and benefit the church.
Mm-hmm. Paul went. I mean, he traveled everywhere. He traveled extensively. But what we see is that Paul's ministry, his preaching, went further than he physically went.
That's right.
And that's what we have at Go Church. We have the ability to come together, experience the unconditional love of God, grow in his love, and then go with his love to the rest of the world further than we could go on our own.
That's right. And the point is that, like, if we look into the Bible, and in Paul's days, there was no social media. There was nothing that we today have. And look what he have done. So how much more can we do with all the technology that we have?
That's right.
So we can go, I believe, way more further that than what they have done.
Yeah, that's well said.
So
that's well said.
I would love to start our conversation with, like, because when we say in Christ, we know that there is salvation in Christ. So let's start kind of explaining, what do we mean by salvation? What is salvation? And why we're talking about being in Christ? So we'll start by Romans 10. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, says that if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So this is called salvation. It's believing in our hearts and confessing with our mouth that he is Lord.
Yeah.
So with doing that, we are being transformed. We are being transmitted from a place that we used to belong to into a new place. And this place is in Christ, is living in him, him living in us. And it's a total transformation. As we read in the purpose, it's not something that, like, we will be in the future. It's not something that, like, is happening for us directly when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. There is transformation that took place in our lives.
That's right. And that truth, really what we're looking at here, this in Christ reality, is what makes the difference between Christianity, which is sometimes referred to as a religion.
Yeah.
But it is not. Christianity is not a religion.
Yeah, it's a relationship.
There are people that have made a religion from the elements of what we know as Christianity. But Romans 10, 9 and 10, and really the direct words of Jesus, indicate that the Christian faith is what you just said. It's a relationship.
Yeah.
And it starts with a birth. John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus said, you must be born again.
That's right.
It's not optional.
Yeah.
And so Christianity, one minister said this, Christianity is not a religion. It is the life of God coming into man.
Amen.
Amen. The life of God coming into man. In fact, Paul wrote that in Galatians, Galatians chapter 6, verse 15. Neither circumcision is anything, nor uncircumcision is anything. What is that referring to? It's talking about the practice of the Old Testament practice of circumcising to be part of the covenant of God. But Paul said, because of what Christ has done, what he explained in Ephesians, where he took the two things and made them one, the people that were in covenant, the people that were out of covenant, and he combined both in one in something that the New Testament calls reconciliation.
Yeah.
That the first step of that is the new birth, or what Paul calls a new creation. He said there's neither a circumcision that accounts for anything or uncircumcision, but a new creation.
Yeah.
So the question in the New Testament is not to what tribe or family or faith have you been born into?
That's right.
The question in the New Testament is, have you been born again?
Yeah, that's like well said as well. And the point, like if you're hearing that and asking yourself, like, how can it be that easy? It is easy. Mm. And not because I have made it easy, or not just because I'm telling you, because Jesus has made it easy for us to access the kingdom of God.
And made it personal.
That's right.
Right? So it is not that my family are all Christians before me, so therefore I'm a Christian. No.
That's right.
Have you been born again?
Yeah, it's a personal decision that I have to take.
Yeah.
And with that, like, because we always hear two words connected to each other, salvation and eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
So some people say that eternal life starts when the day we die. So we move into eternal life. But like if we read
Which
Romans,
would mean it's not eternal.
Yeah.
Right? Because it begins.
But if we read Romans 10, like in the end of it says, if you believe and you confess, you are saved, not you will be saved. So at that day, I was saved. I was born again. I received eternal life. So eternal life starts counting when I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior.
Right. Really, I step into the stream of his life.
Yeah.
Because his life is eternal. He is the source of life. John, 1 John, the epistle of John says that to know him is to know life.
Yeah. And even I remember when we were in Nigeria and the Rema conference, Pastor Talks was talking about eternal life. And he said, some people believe that eternal life means that we're not going to die. Like, we're going to live forever. And he said, if that what eternal life means, that means that the devil has it.
Yeah, because
what eternal life,
he's an eternal being.
That's right. But he said, eternal life is living the life or having life the way God has it.
Life the way God has it.
It's not just living forever.
Yeah. And how does God have life? How would you describe God having life? He would have it in abundance.
That's right.
Right? He's not barely hanging on. He's not, I wonder if I'm going to make it until 4 o'clock today. No, he has life in abundance.
That's right.
And that is the way we are to have life.
That's right.
And that's really the description of eternal life, is life the way God has it.
Amen. And if we go deeper into it, if we say, like, if I say to myself today, I'm in Christ, that's related to an identity because I belong there. This is what kind of like define me, who I am. I am in Christ.
Right.
So this is my new identity, that I am in Christ. So why does identity matter, and why, like, we have to always remember who we are in Christ, what do we have in Christ, and what we can do?
Good question. You know, you just mentioned Nigeria recently. You, myself, and Joseph.
Yeah.
If you don't know Joseph, you should.
Yeah.
But the three of us, we went to Nigeria. In order to get to Nigeria, we went to the airport.
That's right.
At the airport, we presented papers that had our identification
That's
on
right.
it.
Right? That's right.
If you think about what that looks like, we all have this little, you know, passport book.
Yeah.
Inside the book is a picture of us and some writing and like pretty stamps and different colors and so forth. Well, when we go up to the ticket counter, we give them that passport and we say, "This is me."
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of silly, right? This is me.
That's
right. But when I hand them that identity, I'm saying that is the same thing as this.
Yeah, that's right.
These two are the same.
Yeah.
And so in Christ, what we're, and this is the message of Colossians,
yeah.
That this ministry that Paul received, he said, the truth that Christ is in you, that now is your identity.
That's right.
That is your identification. And so now I can look at this and I can say, this is me.
That's right. And the point, like when you're talking about the passports and the ticketing counter, like you see the trust between the ticketing counter and like the thing that gave you this identity or this passport. Mm-hmm. So like without even doubting, they trust.
They recognize the authority
yes.
that issued that passport.
That's right. And the point is that the authority that have issued my new identity is the Word of God.
That's right.
It's the Bible.
And heaven, earth, and hell will recognize the authority of the Word of God.
Amen.
The question is, will you and I recognize the authority?
That's a great question. That's a
will
great
you
question.
And I look at our, like if I looked at my passport and said, I don't think my name is Matt. Well, that doesn't change it.
Yeah.
That doesn't change. I could start calling myself by a different name.
Yeah.
But my identity says this.
Yeah.
The New Testament, the scriptures that describe who I am in Christ, what I have in Christ, and what I can do in Christ.
Yeah.
That is my true identity.
That's right. That's right. And the point, like to emphasize the point that you've said about that, heaven, earth, and hell believe and know the authority of the Word of God. Just remember the preaching in healing school, the teaching that you were giving about like why the devil comes to steal the Word, because he knows that it works for me. He knows that it works for everyone. So that's why he's coming. So he knows the authority that is in the Word.
Right. James said that the devils believe and tremble.
Yeah.
So the question, though, is, and really, the place of unbelief we find in Scripture is always in man.
Yeah.
So we're the ones that need to adjust what we believe and to act according to the Word of God. Pastor Mark Hankins, you mentioned that Pastor Mark and Trina are coming to Lebanon soon. We're excited about that. He makes a statement. He says, you can live in Christ.
Yeah, or in crisis.
Or in crisis.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
And obviously in English, that kind of has a similarity in tone and phrase.
Yeah.
But that's just true. And, you know, you probably know people, and you probably know people that are, like, their life, they constantly are in crisis.
Yeah.
But if we will develop an identity where let me say that another way. If we identify ourselves with what the New Testament says, who we are in Christ,
that's right.
what we have in Christ, what we can do in Christ, then we'll move from that land of crisis into our place in Christ.
Yeah,
that's And you know what our place in Christ looks like, right?
Place of authority.
Victory and authority.
That's right.
Right? Let's look at it. Ephesians chapter 2. Instead of just talk about it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, verse 4. But God being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in transgressions.
Thank you, Lord.
He made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Well, that just eliminates the notion that I have to earn that place.
Yeah.
He earned it.
Yeah, that's right. He gave it to me.
He gave it to me because of his great love.
Yeah.
You know what that sounds like, right? John 3:16.
Yeah.
Because of God's great love.
Yeah.
For with he loved the world.
He gave his only
son. He gave his only begotten son. Right?
Yeah.
So verse 6, it says, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ. What is the place? What does it look like to live in Christ? It looks like to live where he sits.
That's right, in the heavenly places.
In the place of highest authority.
That's right.
Why do I say that's highest authority? Back up to chapter 1.
Yeah.
Verse chapter 1. It says, verse 21, well, verse 20, he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places.
Yeah.
This is the place that God raised Jesus to from the dead. Yeah. Verse 21, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. That's pretty much everything.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
So what is the difference between living in crisis and living in Christ? Living in Christ means that I am far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come.
Yeah.
How can I say that? Because it says in verse 6 of chapter 2, God raised me and you up with Christ and seated us with Christ in the heavenly places.
Far above.
Christ.
Yeah.
So we are seated there. That's identity.
Yeah.
That's who we are.
That's right.
That's what we have and what we can do.
That's right. That's right. And the point, like as well, back to Nigeria, it didn't say, Pastor Tux as well was talking about that. It didn't say just above.
Yeah.
Far above. Even though, like he said, imagine like the end of your feet. It's still above everything.
Far above.
Yes, it's still far above everything. So even like no matter which part of the body you are, you're still far above everything.
We are the body of Christ.
Yeah.
And some people may have a low opinion of themselves. But like you said, you know, even if you are the sole of the foot of the body of Christ,
you're still far above.
You are far above.
That's right.
Far above what? All power, all rule, all authority, all dominion in this world and in the one to come.
That's right. That's right.
You know, that is surety.
Yeah.
That is gospel truth. And it is true about me and you.
That's right.
And it's true about the person that just says yes to Jesus.
Exactly.
Because it is the work of Christ, not our works.
That's right. That's right. So, like, just to ask a question, what is the Lord trying to get us to see concerning our identity in Him?
Well, to answer that question, I would say, where is the fight for identity?
Mm-hmm.
Who or what would challenge that truth? Paul makes the statement there in Colossians. He says, I've been given this message and I need to preach this message. What message? That Christ is in you.
That's right.
Right? So what is the challenge to that identity? The challenge to the identity is what you mentioned. The devil is always trying to steal the word.
Yeah.
And it's very interesting, if you go back to Matthew chapter 4, Matthew, the fourth chapter, begins with what is commonly referred to as the temptation of Jesus.
That's right.
And we won't take the time to go through this, but I would encourage you to look at this. Matthew chapter 4, starting in verse 1 and all the way down through verse 11, outlines the devil tempting Jesus.
Yeah.
The Hebrews tells us that Christ was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin.
Yeah, that's right.
Each one of these temptations, do you know what he was being tempted to do? We could say generally he was being tempted to sin.
The opposite of the word.
He was being tempted to violate the word, yeah. But look at what the devil was really challenging him on. Identity.
Yeah.
If you are the Son of God.
Yeah, that's right.
Speak to that stone. Yeah. If you are the Son of God, cast yourself down from this high place.
Yeah.
The identity issue is central to the attack of the enemy. Because if the devil can get me to doubt who I am in Christ, what I have in Christ, and what I can do in Christ,
yeah.
he can limit what God can do through me.
That's right. That's right. And to get back into the identity, when you gave the example of the passport, it's as well, you said, like, even if I started calling myself something other than Matt, it's not going to change. It is the truth. My name, your name is Matt on the passport. But if you start calling yourself Matt and you believe that your name is not Matt, if I call you Matt, you're not going to reply. Mm-hmm. You're not going to respond to myself. And it's not because it's not the truth. It's because you started believing the opposite of what is true and what is the truth, not just what is true, because this is your truth. So the same with God. If we call ourselves what God is calling us, you said it in healing school, God will start calling us what we are calling each other.
That's
or
right.
ourselves. So it starts as well with us. We talked last month about influence. We can be an influence for ourselves with the words that we say, with the things that we hear, with our actions, with what we call ourselves, with what we say about our circumstances. So if I face circumstances and I respond from that place that I'm in Christ, so if I respond from that place of authority, everything will change. Even if it doesn't look like physically, we know that in the spiritual realm, it has been changed moment that I spoke to it.
That's right. A good illustration of what you just said is in the Old Testament, in the book of Judges.
Yeah.
So in the book of Judges, chapter 6, we are introduced to a man named Gideon. And the people of God in the book of Judges were being subjected to attacks, raiders. Mm. Basically, think of it like robbers, armed robbers.
Yeah.
And Gideon was, his picture of himself was that he was short, that his family was not well known,
yeah.
not well placed in society. And the tribe that he belonged to was also the smallest, the one that was picked last. You know, Gideon had this image of himself. If you read this in scripture, you can see he saw himself as small yeah. and incapable.
Yeah.
The Bible says that an angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon and gave him a word from God. And that word from God was, Gideon, you are a mighty man of valor or strength.
Yeah.
This could not have been further from Gideon's personal view.
Yeah.
Gideon saw himself exactly the opposite. And Gideon probably wouldn't have identified himself as a mighty mouse, let alone a mighty man. But if you keep reading, Gideon led first an army of 30,000, then he sent 27,700 of them home, and he kept 300. And the Lord was directing him through all of that, and we won't take the time to go through it, but yeah. God gave Gideon a victory that was miraculous. It could not have been accomplished in the natural.
Yeah.
It couldn't have been accomplished in the natural. But God gave them the victory, but it started with Gideon changing the way he saw himself.
Yeah, or as you said it as well, he identified himself with the word that God had like given to
That's
him.
So critical, identifying yourself with what the Bible says about yeah. you. Because the devil is always trying to identify you, so identify you with your circumstances.
Yeah.
The world is trying to identify you with your past. But the message of the New Testament, our key scripture,
yeah.
Paul said, it's my ministry
yeah.
to fully preach this. To preach what? That Christ is in you. Yeah. If Christ is in me, then I need to know who I am in him,
yeah.
what I have in him, and what I can do in him.
That's right. And the point is not just, it's that we are in Christ, and Christ is in us through the Holy Spirit. So yeah. we are in him, he is in us. So just what a powerful life we can live when we know this identity. And it's not just related to one thing, it's related to everything as well. One of the main things that I've heard, that if we know who we truly are in Christ, we don't need prayer for healing, because we will be walking in divine health because of our identity in Christ, because we are in him, he is in us. So Jesus had never experienced sickness or knew what sickness is. He walked in divine health. So if I truly know who I am in Christ and who Christ is in me, I can walk in divine health.
That's right.
And I can walk in divine abundance. I can, like, everything in my life will be just divine, because I will be living life the way God has it.
Right. And that doesn't mean that challenges don't come.
That's right.
It means that the answer is in me, and I live in victory. I live in the place of
That's
victory.
Right. That's right.
Victory is the result of contest. Victory and testimony
yeah.
comes out of test and trial.
Yeah.
Right? So test and trial may come, but instead of camping there, I go through it.
That's right.
And I go through it into victory.
Yeah.
And you might be listening to us and think, I have questions about this. I don't know that I've ever heard this. Let me look at 1 Corinthians. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Very interesting passage. The letter to the church at Corinth, yeah. written by Paul, he's writing and he's addressing several points that mm-hmm. relate to the church. Mm-hmm. Bible scholars tell us that Paul wrote 1 Corinthians actually in response to a letter that the church at Corinth had mm-hmm. written to him. Mm-hmm. And in verse 16 of chapter 3, of course, he didn't write this in chapter and verses. Man divided that so it would be easier for us to find things. But verse 16, it says, "Do you not know?" Now, that question is, like, we could just stop right there and kind of make a mark there. Do you not know? Inside that question is this statement. You should know this.
Yeah.
Do you not know? What he's really saying there is, he's not trying to brag about what he knows and they don't.
Yeah.
He's bringing up something like, we talked about this.
Yeah.
When I was there, because Paul helped start this church in Corinth, this is a foundational truth. This is a foundational truth that it seems to Paul that this church has let slip.
Yeah.
So in Christ's truth, this is not something that is new or something that we've just cooked up. This is a foundational element. Oh. And when Paul saw it was slipping from the practice of the church in Corinth, he asked this question: do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? That's amazing. And, you know, that truth, no matter who you are, no matter what society you live in, that's revolutionary.
Yeah.
But to the people of the church at Corinth, they were surrounded by different temples. And some of these temples were ornate. Some of these temples were massive structures that could not have been constructed by a single person. Yeah. It was an evidence of the ability of Roman society to create things.
Yeah.
And Paul uses that imagery, and he said, that is how God sees you and how he treats you.
Definitely.
He lives in you. The central message of the New Testament, the central truth of being a Christian, is that Christ lives in you.
Amen. Amen. And the point is that, like, to emphasize the point that you said, like, he's asking them, do you not know? So kind of is asking them a question that they know the answer to, as you said, kind of just bringing to their remembrance what they already know.
Yeah.
And just...
He's reminding.
Just like to get their attention. And he didn't say that you can be God's temple. He said, you are God's temple.
Right.
And he didn't say God's Spirit will dwell in you. He said, it dwells in you. He dwells in you. So that's true about you. Just reminding them of who they are in Christ.
Yeah.
So just like a reminder for them, as you said, because the truth was like it slipped from them. So we're not going to be limited to this podcast, but we want you to be discussing these points.
That's right.
For you to always remember who you are in Christ.
That's right.
And who Christ is in you. So come to your grow group, ask questions, engage in the discussion, because with you engaging in the discussion, asking questions, hearing other people asking questions, that will open up like things in your heart that you can go deeper and deeper in the truth and who you are in
Amen.
Christ.
That's well said.
Amen. And I believe we have came into an end.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't want to stop.
This is a stopping place.
Yes. It's not the stop. So if you have made it this far in your day and no one has told you yet today, we want you to know that
we love you.
We're praying for you.
God bless you.